I'm going to believe God's going to touch his back this morning. Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch Michael in a very powerful way. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, touch his back. Let him feel your power. Let him feel your anointing. And Lord, let your spirit, Lord, and your healing power rush through him right now. Let him feel the warmth. Let him feel the awesomeness and the comfort. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God's good. We serve an awesome God, a powerful God, a God that knows no boundaries. He can get to you whenever you're in trouble. Psalm 23, y'all turn to Psalm 23. Stand for the reading of the word. Psalm 23. Part 2. And this will be the final part two from last week. Passing through dark valleys. Your dark valley your dark valley could be all kinds of things. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your job. It could be in your own life. It could be things that you're facing, things that you know somebody else is facing. It's very possible that you're hurting for somebody else. Did you know it's possible to hurt for somebody else? If you're a parent, you know. Did you also know that you could get PTSD and not even be the one to suffer? The actual death, COVID, I'll get over it. I mean, I don't have COVID. This is what it left me. I do not have COVID, y'all. Everybody went, well, man, he just prayed for somebody. He got COVID. No. COVID left me with this. I'm fine. I am fine. Look at me. Y'all say it. He's fine. Okay. I just had to clear my throat a lot, and I start losing my voice about halfway during the day. But that's going away, and my brain fog is going away. Praise God. Okay, you can get PTSD and not even be the person that suffered the life-threatening injury. You can get secondary PTSD just by being with that person. Okay, I even know that when if your spouse may have cancer, or your spouse could have been in an accident. Or you could just be hearing about somebody else. You don't have to be the one to do it to get the PTSD. But when you have so much empathy for that person, when they're telling their story and when you're hearing their story, then it actually you can get it too. And so let's be cautious to the people when they're telling you they're hurting. Believe them. Okay? It's like this. I tell people all the time, the doctor may not know medicine, but he doesn't know your body. So I tell them all the time, say, Doc, I trust your opinion for the medicine, but just let me tell you something. I know my body. You're telling me I shouldn't be hurting here, but I am. So let's talk about it. Or I shouldn't, you say I shouldn't be having this problem right now, but I am. So let's talk about it. I know my body. The same way, if somebody's hurting, stop and talk to them and pray with them. Amen. So here we go. Let's get Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. How long has it been since your saucer's been blessed? Amen. When your cup runs over, my granddaddy would get this great old big, before they even had these great old big cups, my granddaddy had a cup like a bowl, and he'd fill it full of coffee, and he'd pour it, just keep on pouring, till it went over the brim and landed. He didn't have a saucer, he had a bowl. And so he put his coffee, that great big coffee bowl looking thing, inside of a bowl thing, and he poured it till it went over to the side, and he would sip that, and then he'd pour more coffee because it was so hot, and he would sip it through the bowl. And so I thought about it. How long has it been since your saucer? My granddaddy loved it. He'd sit on the front porch for hours and let his saucer be blessed. So how long has it been since your saucer has been blessed? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Give the Lord. Let's pray to the Lord. Put your hands this way. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We give this service to you, Lord. It's yours. Lord, we can't do anything about it. Lord, there are so many things in our life, but give it to you. But Lord, once we give it to you, you fix things. You prepare things. You repair things. There's all kinds of things you're doing in our life that we don't even see or know that you're doing. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless and anoint each and every person in this place. Anoint their ears. Let them hear what the Spirit is saying. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. God is so good. Heard a story of a out-of-towner drove his car into a ditch in a desolated area. And he was blessed because there was a local farmer came out with this great big old strong horse named Buddy. He hitched Buddy to the car and yelled, "Pull, Nelly, pull!" Buddy didn't move. Then the farmer hollered, "Pull, Buster, pull!" Buster didn't respond. One more time, the farmer commanded, "Pull, Coco, pull!" Nothing. Then the farmer nonchalantly said, "Pull, Buddy, pull!" And the horse easily dragged the car out of the ditch. The motorist was most appreciative and very curious. He asked the farmer why he called his horse by the wrong name 3 times. The farmer said, "Oh, Buddy is blind. And if he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't even try." Well, some of us sometimes, when we think we're the only ones pulling, we might not even try. Amen? So passing through dark valleys. And so, wrong way again. There we go. Just quickly, going to go through just quickly what we went through last week, just in case you weren't here. And if you were here, give you a chance to sit back and think about it. What do you get in life when all you have is sunshine every day and no rain? Of course, the answer is the desert. So we're talking about dark valleys. Dark valleys, number one, are unavoidable. Mankind is born for trouble as surely sparks fly over, Job 5 and 7. They're unpredictable. You can't for them or make time for them. Usually they happen at the worst possible time. Disaster after disaster is reported, for the whole land is destroyed. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my tent curtains in a moment. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 20. They're impartial. Come on. There we go. They're impartial. It causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends righteous rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That was from last week. Now we're getting ready to transition. Y'all get ready. Just remember this. Dark valleys are temporary. Y'all say temporary. They always have an end. They don't last forever, and they're not our permanent residence. It says the suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has given plans, great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. See that? And have you put together and on your feet for good. Y'all say that to somebody else. He will have you put together and on your feet for good. Amen. And then finally, come on there, here we go. Dark valleys have a purpose. It says, you rejoice in this, that now for a short time you have been distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perisheth, though refined by fire, may result in glory, praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you're going through dark valleys, know this, God can teach you character. God is more concerned about your character than your comfort. Come on. God is more concerned about your character than your comfort. If everything was handed to you on a silver platter, then guess what? You'd wind up being a spiritual, spoiled brat. Amen? God wants to build character. He wants to change you, and He wants to mature you. And faith is built on your valleys in life. So here we go. So what do you do when you go through the dark valleys? What do you do? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you just a couple of things. All right, when you go through dark valleys, what do? Number one, remain calm. I just stopped for a minute. I looked at some eyes when I said remain calm, and people went, even your action weren't calm. Remain calm. When Jesus was on the boat, and his head was on the pillow, or he made a pillow at the captain's bench and they were in a storm, what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. They said, Master, carest not that we perish? They had to wake him up. Not because he didn't care, it's because he was calm. Because he knew that God had him. Amen? He said, watch this. Even though I walk, not run through the valley, not panic through the valley, not run the other way, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. John 14:27 says, peace I leave you. My own peace I now give you and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Wow. I want to read you a few more verses. It's just so awesome. The NLT says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Ready? Peace of mind and peace of heart. Wow. Peace of mind and peace of heart. The peace I give you is the gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or don't be afraid. You know, a lot of times I've had people tell me, are you okay? Yes. Are you just in shock? Why? Because you're handling it so good. And I said, is there any way else to handle it? Doesn't God have this? Yes. Okay then. God's got it. I had an uncle one time that told me, he come up to me, and at the time he just tried his best to agitate me and start a spiritual fight all the time. He was Satan in a Lenten suit. He always come up to me and he agitated me and pushed me and probed me, and I always tried to remain calm. And one day he looked at me and he said, doesn't anything ever bother you? I said, it sure does. He said, your mama's sick? I said, I know. Your wife's been sick? I know. Your kids are sick? I know. We're having problems out here at the farm? I said, I know. He says, you don't like anything that bothers you? I said, oh, it concerns me a great deal. He says, well, how come you are walking around smiling and the rest of us are walking around frowning? I said, I can't answer for the rest of them. I said, but when I get feeling bad, I go. I said, see those woods back there? He said, yeah. I said, I go back in those woods. Me and the Father have a talk. I said, after me and the Father have a talk, then I come back and I feel a whole lot better. He said, oh, so the cross is your crutch. And I said, yeah. He thought it was hitting me hard. I said, no, you're right. The cross is my crutch. I said, because without Jesus, I can't do a thing. So here's another version. I'm leaving you well and I'm leaving you whole. This is my parting gift to you. Please, I don't leave you the way you used to be left. Oh, I love it. Feeling abandoned and bereft. So don't be upset and don't be distraught. And find the Amplified version. Peace I leave you, my own peace I give you and bequeath you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated. I just read that to you. And disturbed, intimidated, and cowardly, and unsettled. Again, I had to read it twice because I want you to hear that. It's very important that you understand that God's in the middle of everything you do, even when you don't want him there. Even when you don't want him there, he's still there because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So if he's not going to leave me or forsake me, even when I'm not doing necessarily what he likes, he's still there. Matter of fact, that's the one that speaks to you in your little ear and goes, maybe you're not doing that quite right. Maybe there's a better way to do this. So here we go. Number one, remain calm. It sure helps a lot. I remember, and I've told the story a bunch of times, but I remember when my mama died. My mama had been dead for about a week. And it was my call. I was on call at Pitt Memorial Hospital. My nerves had been rattled because I was the family pastor. And so Mama had died. We buried her. And then I got to go to Pitt Memorial Hospital and go from 8 that night to 8 in the morning. And we usually had at least 2 or 3 deaths. And the emergency room and all this stuff. And so I said, I started to call in and say, I don't think I'm going to go tonight. But I heard my mama say,
Cricket, you better get yourself down to that hospital.
So I went to the hospital. And I'm listening to gospel music in the car. And I can't remember the name of the group right now. But the lady was talking about it. Just before I went in, the lady's talking to me. Talking on the radio. She's talking before she sings the song. And she says, my mother and I sang this song on the night she died. I'm going, oh no. Instead of turning off, I kept listening. And said, we sang the first verse together. She sang the second verse in heaven. Now I'm really, ugh. And so I go in. And before I could even get in, the chaplain come out with my coat and the pagers and said, get in here now. I said, it's not even time for me yet. He said, yes, it is. Get in here now. And I said, I haven't even gotten to the office. He said, here. And he put my coat on me, and he was dressed. He said, follow me. And we went to North Tower. And I said, what's going on? And he said, we've got a waiting room in the North Tower full of people, and the woman has a daughter, 28, and she's dying. And this place has gone ballistic, and I'm glad you're here. And I said, thanks. He walked up and introduced to the woman. She didn't even speak English. She spoke broken English. The husband didn't speak English at all. Their daughter-in-law was the one that translated. And she goes, and she won't calm down so I can talk to her. The whole place is going crazy. And he says, this is the new chaplain for tonight, David Linton. Y'all have a good time. Bye. And so there I was. In the middle of all this chaos, because the daughter was dying, I couldn't speak Spanish. They couldn't speak English. There was broken English, but the daughter-in-law could. And so I looked at the woman and I held her hand, the mother, and I tried to talk to her. Her daughter-in-law was interpreting back and forth for us, and she wouldn't calm down. And I said, I don't know what it's like this at this time. I don't know what it's like to lose a daughter. I do now. I said, but I do know what it's like to lose my mother, and she died last week. And I said, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me that if you listen, it's going to happen to you. And the woman started listening, and she never lost it again, even when her daughter died. I told her, I said, God's going to come in, and he's going to pick you up, and he's going to carry you. If you let him, you got to let him. But if you'll let him, God's spirit is already in here. I know you feel him tugging at your heart. And she went, I said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to transfer the burden and you're going to give it to God right now. I said, I had to do this last week. And I said, you're going to feel God in a very powerful way right at this moment when we pray. And I said, trust him because he doesn't want your heart troubled. And we prayed and she calmed down. She quit crying. And we went to go see her daughter. Her daughter died 30 minutes later. She came back in. I stayed with him till 2 o'clock in the morning. And she never lost it again. Because she realized that God had her. And the Holy Spirit was moving and picking her and carrying her. I told her, I said, you know what? During my mama's funeral, even the Sunday after when I preached, I said, I felt like I was riding on somebody's back. I was being lifted up. I said, it was the Holy Spirit. And I said, he wants to do the same thing for you right now. And it's so amazing how everything calmed down. Again, I had to speak to interpreters, and it was really kind of wild. I never had experienced anything like that. But it's amazing how God stepped in immediate peace. And there was about 50 people in that room. Immediate peace among 50 people. That's God. That's God. God says, remain calm when you're in your dark valleys. Secondly, Refuse. Listen to this carefully. Refuse to be discouraged. Refuse. Refuse. Y'all say refuse. When you're in a dark valley and you can't see where you're going and you're trying to navigate and things are crazy and you're in pain and you're trying to move and you can't see where you're going, it's so easy to get discouraged when you feel like finish line keeps moving, when you feel like whatever you're reaching for you can't find and you're trying your best to find it. Refuse to be discouraged. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Refuse to be discouraged. Look, this I will fear no evil implies a choice. How can you refuse to be discouraged? Very simple. Watch this. Focus on God's power in your valley. Psalm 91, 5 and 7 says, "Thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee." I just like reading different versions because they bring out the Greek and the Hebrew in such a way. Here it is. Do not be afraid of terrors of the night. This is the New Living Translation. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at thy side, though 10,000 are dying around you, those evils will not touch you. You know, I remember so vividly, Beverly was teaching at Chocowin Primary School. We got a call that the school was on fire. We got there because she was going to try to say some stuff in her room. We got there and you couldn't even get to it. The building was up. Had flames and smoke and all that. And Beverly looked over and she said, "My classroom is over there." And there was probably about, six classrooms. I can't remember now, six, eight classrooms. And she said, "My classroom is over there. All my stuff is gone." And I said, "Just hold on. Let God be God. He knew what he was doing. Just trust him." And when they got the fire out, they went and all the rooms were messed up except Beverly's. She didn't get to use it because they put her in a trailer, but everybody's room was messed up but hers. And she said, "How does that happen?" I said, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 around you, but God's got you. God's amazing. And then I love this version. "Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, nor flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, nor disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will come unto you." Sometimes you just got to shake yourself and say, "You know what? I'm not going to be discouraged. I refuse to be discouraged." Many a time I've had to tell myself, "I refuse to be discouraged." Walk in the halls in the cancer center, especially when they told me for 4 days you can lose your wife or your daughter, either one or both, for 4 days. I walked through that hall and I'd say, "I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be discouraged. God, you got this. I will fear no evil." I quoted Psalm 23 so many times, walking back and forth in that cancer center. I said, "I'm not going to give in. I'm going to trust God in all of this." And then, rest in God's presence. It says, "For you're with me." God promises to be with you every step of the way. I love Exodus. Exodus 33 and 14 says, "And he said, my presence will go with thee, and I will give you rest." Another version says, "God said, my peace, my presence will go with you. I'll see this journey to the end." Wow. All the way through, God's not going to stop. And then finally, rely on God's protection and his guidance. Joshua 1 and 9 says, Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Again, I got a couple of versions here. It's just really, or at least one more version. Have I not commanded thee strength and courage? Be not timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step that you take. So now, let's talk about one more thing. Shadows. You know what's so cool about these old black and white movies from back in the 30s? They could scare the jeebies out of you without having a bunch of blood and guts. How did they do it? Shadows. I can write this day, I can watch some of the weirdest, craziest mess, you know, with the new version of all the scary movies and not be scared a bit, or maybe get a little suspense, but that's it. But I can watch some of these old black and whites on Turner Classics back in the 30s, and I feel the chills, the goosebumps coming, and all they're using is shadows. Black and white. What else are you going to use? So, and I thought about that. I like the little cartoon where Tom and Jerry, Tom is going to prowl for Jerry. And Jerry has a light in front of him. And Jerry's walking, and he gets in that light, and his shadow is bigger than Tom. And Tom does his crazy, and runs off because he sees a shadow. But if he'd only known it was Tom, he just said, really? That's it? Shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadow of death. Now, there's going to be a time when you walk through that valley the last time, and you're going to walk through to real death. But until that time, you're going to pass through this valley so many times. Watch. Shadows. Shadows are always bigger than reality. Did you know that? Fear is always greater than the problems you face. Secondly, shadows can't hurt you. You know that? I've never seen a shadow hurt me yet. Made me hurt myself. Especially when I was a young'un. Even now, I can walk around. Maybe I'm in the church start 10 o'clock at night here, and I'm going to my car. You know, I saw a shadow not long ago. The shadow went by, and I went, oh. Well, it was a bird flying by, a bat. You know, here I was. And I thought, I thought something was going to get me. You know. My wife has a dressing. I don't know what you call it, a dressing mannequin. Where it's only got this part of the body and no arms. What do you call that? I have no idea, but they use that to put dresses on. And so you can sew your dress and stuff because you got it's the size of you, and it's just from here to here with no arms. And it's on a pedestal, so it's about your size. Normally, when I see that thing, I don't even think about it because I've seen it so much. But the other day, she put a different shirt on it. And I was asleep, and the light was shining in the room, and I opened up my eyes. And the air conditioner or something was running. And so that shirt was kind of doing like this. And I opened my eyes. And I thought somebody was... I mean, right from the beginning, I was... Oh! And I let... she calls it Esmeralda or something. I never can get it right. I said, it's just Esmeralda. And then Beverly, she, before she was a school teacher, before she went to school, college to be a school teacher, she was a hairdresser. And while she was in hairdressing school, she had just a head. And she put wigs on the head, and she'd work on all the wigs and stuff. So she had this head. It had hair in it. Excuse me. It had hair on it. So here it is. She'd work on the hair, and she'd do different hairstyles. Well, one Sunday morning, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to work on my sermon for Sunday morning. And we had a big big old, in the hallway, we had a great old big archway, and on each side was glass, about like this. And I'm sitting there, and I'm at the kitchen table, and I'm working on my sermon, and I kept having the feeling that somebody was watching me. I said, why do I keep feeling this? Somebody's watching me. And then I looked up in that glass. I looked up in the glass. What I saw was somebody going. And I honestly, my heart dropped, my Bible dropped, everything dropped. Because I thought somebody had snuck in and has picked their head up over the counter to look at me. And what it was her head was attached to that counter. It was just that mannequin. So again, most of the time when things scare you, you'll find out they're not going to hurt you. They can only scare you. And then finally, and Brandon, come on up here, bro. Get ready to play something for us softly. It only appears when there's a light source. Let me back that one up. It only appears when there's a light source. Wow. Sometimes the shadow that you're fearing is God revealing what you're afraid of. Don't fear the shadow. Look at what God is revealing that's making the shadow. Amen? You got to trust Him. I just put this up here, and y'all stand up. God's got this. Y'all say that. God's got this. Then say this. God's got me. When I can't see, His vision is strong. Amen. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. There may be somebody here today that you'd say, I had some times in my life and I didn't remain calm and I did get discouraged and I blamed God. And now, me and God either aren't on the same page or me and God are not as close as we had been. And I really want to get back to where I was with Him. If you're here today and you're not as close to God as you once were or want to be, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to pray with you and pray for you. Would you put that hand up quickly? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and you're still discouraged. Remember I told you last week, Linda and I went to Lariba. And the lady, I hadn't seen her in months. And she come up to me and put her, when she saw me, I went to pay the bill. She put her hands, both hands on her chest. And she said, every time I see you, my heart breaks. Because I think about your lovely daughter. And when she said that, my heart just dropped. It's okay. It is okay not to be okay. That's part of dealing with things and learning how to get beyond it. But don't be discouraged. There's a difference. It's okay not to be okay, but if you've got courage, you can move on. You can move on to healing. But if you're discouraged, that means your courage has been zapped. And it's hard to move forward. You got to trust God. You got to trust Him. Know that He knows what's going on. He knows what's best. And that He's always working for your good. So maybe you're here today and you're just discouraged. Matter of fact, you could have come here today and wondered, is it even worth it anymore? Is it even worth coming to church? Is it even worth serving you, God? Because, wow, look what happened. But every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're having to deal with thoughts like that and deal with that internal battle, because this, would you just put that hand up and say I'm doing that. I'm having to figure this out. I'm really having a hard time maneuvering through some things, and I really need your help, God. If I'm talking to you, would you put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Let's pray together. We're all going to pray together, and we're all going to do this together because we're a family, and a family sticks together. We got this. Ready? Y'all say this with me. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Right now, I rededicate myself and my life to you. I thank you that although there's pain, there's also a path. And at the end of that path, there is no more pain. I thank you, God, for touching me and helping me remain calm in the middle of my valley. And help me to realize that when I can't see, your vision is strong. And I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. I wear it all the time. God's got this. That's not a motto. That's not a slogan. If that was just a slogan, I would just take this and throw it in the trash can. I would. It's not a slogan. This is my life. God's got it. If he don't got it, I ain't got it. We want to know more prayers is during the day. God, it's got to be me and you, and it's got to be mostly you.